Thank you all. Labor Day and Grandparents Day all in one. We got Labor Day and Grandparents Day all in one today, and that's a great thing. I want to tell you about grandmother was babysitting her little three-year-old, and they were sitting in the middle of the floor, and she was testing her little three-year-old to see if she knew the colors that she had. And so she took out a box of crayons, and she would lay this one out and said, "What color is this one?" She said, "It's blue, it's red, it's pink, it's green." And so finally the little girl got up a little bored and left the room, and she looked up back over her shoulder and said, "Grandma, you should probably know those colors by now. Come on, come on, come on, come on." Yeah. Children never cease to amaze us. So today we're here on Grandparents Day, and the title of my sermon is, "I Don't Need a Rocking Chair." Taken from Genesis, the 55th chapter, verses 21 through 32. You may know that I got that passage, that title from a famous song. Does anybody know who made that song famous? "I Don't Need a Rocking Chair"? George Jones. He said, "I don't need a rocking chair, your Geritol or your Medicare. While I still got neon in my veins, the gray hair don't mean a thing. I do my rocking on stage. You can't put this possum in a cage. My body's old, but it ain't impaired. I don't need your rocking chair. I ain't ready for the junkyard yet, because I still feel like a new Corvette. It might take a little longer, but I'll get there. Well, I don't need your rocking chair. Retirement don't fit my plans. You can keep your seat. I'm going to stand. An Eskimo needs a Frigidaire like I need your rocking chair." I think this old song by George Jones, there seems to be a little defiance in this George Jones song. But I will tell you that George Jones may declare that he does not need a rocking chair, no Medicare, and this gray hair don't mean a thing. All I can tell you is he's not speaking for me or singing for me. However, the real truth is, as Christians, must we realize that our work is never done. And the older we get, the less time we have to sit in a rocking chair, because God has challenged us to leave a legacy of God's hope and God's grace to younger generations. According to what I'm reading in today's papers and in the news as I watch it, I don't think that things are getting any better, and we're probably a little behind the power curve. What do you think? As we age, it is our responsibility as Christians to pass on God's truths to younger generations. In Proverbs, it tells young men to listen to their elders. It exhorts young ladies to learn from their mothers. And in all cases, young people, you're hearing this? In all cases, the youth should demonstrate a respect for their elders and the elders' wisdom. The admonition to the older generation is to be sure to pass on to our youth the blessed hope of God, which is Christ crucified, raised, and coming again. We are here to pass on to them the power of God and to teach them how to live in a secular world. Let me give you some startling statistics of our time. We find that 6.1 million grandparents are raising their grandchildren. We find that 2.5 million grandparents are responsible for most of the basic needs of their grandchildren. And these grandparents represent about 40% of all grandparents and grandchildren that live with them. And of these, 1.6 million are grandmothers and 896,000 are grandfathers. You see, 5.7 million grandchildren live with a grandparent. And these children comprise 8% of all the children in the United States. There was a special that aired on MSNBC several years ago. Researchers found that the most defining social change taking place in the aging America is this. The National Institute on Aging and AARP says someone turns 50 years of age every 6 seconds, and people over 50 account for 43% of all households. The over 85 group is the fastest growing segment of the population, and the number of citizens over 85 will double by 2030. Woohoo, that's good news for me. The U.S. population age 65 and over is expected to double in the next 25 years. Get your Social Security now. Life expectancy at the turn of the century was approximately 46 years, and today it's approximately 76 years. The danger that I see is we find as the population get older is we live in a culture that promotes youthfulness and denies the importance of the elderly. And this is in opposition to the Word of God, which tells Christians to honor the aged. In fact, in Leviticus 19:32, it says, "You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord." Do you hear that, young people? I tried to teach it to my children. They didn't listen. All the time. But we know that the demographics are changing, and there is a more urgent need for Christians to take on the responsibility of passing the truth of God onto generations that follow, whether children or grandchildren, nieces or nephews, other children who are in our circle of influence. The question today is that adults and senior adults, do you think that your life will have an influence on your grandchildren or your children? You should. How about children and young people? What do they need to know that's in your circle of influence? Now, I will tell you, we may not need a rocking chair, because we really need to be about God's business, which is teaching and training our young people to understand the great lessons of the gospel. For instance, in our scripture today, we get an account of a man named Enoch. He was the father of Methuselah. Methuselah was the father of Lamech. Lamech was the father of Noah. And you listen as we read this passage of Scripture today together. If you're able, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? Genesis 5, beginning with verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God, and 300 years after, he became the father of Methuselah. And he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and became the father of Lamech. Then Methuselah lived 782 years after he became the father of Lamech. And he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and became the father of a son. Now he called his name Noah, saying, "This one shall give us rest from our work and from the toil of our hands, arising from the ground which the Lord has cursed." Then Lamech lived 595 years after, and he became the father of Noah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word, and you may be seated. We saw earlier in Genesis 6, 8, and 9 that Noah walked with God. But there is also another testimony of Noah's life that we find in Ezekiel 14, verses 13 and 14. Listen as I read this to you. "Son of man, when a land sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, I will stretch out my hand against it. I will cut it, supply of bread off, send famine on it, and cut off man and beast from it. Even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they would deliver only themselves by their righteousness, says the Lord." I will tell you that that's a pretty powerful testimony coming from God. He says to us that these three men were men of God, righteous, that he would save out of this kind of secularism. A casual reader of Noah's time might come to the conclusion it was much easier to be a follower of God in his day than it is today. Not so. If you listen to the description in Genesis 6, 5 through 7, it says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of thoughts of his heart was continually evil. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, 'I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them.'" You see, this was in Noah's day. While things in the world seem chaotic today, hopefully that's not the way God sees his children today. Even so, it is not easy to be like Noah. We might not feel we could ever be a Noah, but the fact is, God has called us to righteousness just as he did Noah. Hear the exhortation that we find in 2 Corinthians 6 in verses 16 through 18. Paul says, "For you are the temple of the living God, and God has said, 'I will dwell in you and walk among you. I will be your God, and you shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate,' says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. I would just ask you, what do the generations behind you see what they see when they look at you? Do they see you living like the others in this world? Or do they see you as a man or woman who is seeking righteousness? I think that we have to understand that this idea of living for God, we see this man Noah, who is a great man of God, who is seeking righteousness. But the second thing we have to find is we find that Noah followed God's instructions exactly. Genesis 6, 14 through 16 describes God's instruction to Noah. He said, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. We see that he was given specific instructions about how to build this, and he followed God's instruction exactly as given. He made no shortcuts. He did not reject God's word. He only rejected the wisdom of the world. Remember, Noah followed God's instructions even though Noah had never seen a flood. He had never seen it rain. But the scripture in Genesis 6:22 says, Noah did all that God commanded him to do. I believe if Noah had doubted God's wisdom or chosen to build its own way, we would have found that the ark capsized and there would have been a difficult time. Now you have to understand that this man who's building an ark, that God told him to go out there and get this gopher wood and put together, is a man who had never seen water. He'd only seen a mist coming up from the earth. And God is telling him, build a huge ark. Make it gopher wood. Here is an unrighteous world that he's living in. Can you imagine his neighbors? In fact, there was a play about this on Broadway, about Noah building the ark. It was hilarious. The people would come through and Noah's building the ark, and they come by, look at him, he's a fool. He's building an ark. For what? There's no water. He kept hearing the Lord. He kept working. He kept doing it. They come, look, he's a fool. I'm telling you, he's an idiot. He thinks he hears God. He thinks God speaks to him. He's a fool. The play went on to depict Noah as a mindless idiot who was deluded in every way. And at the conclusion, water started coming from the heavens. The animals started coming onto the ark, just as God had said. And when that ark began to float, people were not yelling, you fool, anymore. They were not yelling, you're an imbecile. They're not telling him he didn't hear the voice of God. In fact, they're trying to get on that ark. Noah teaches us a very good lesson about following God's rules exactly. The world may think you're a fool. The world may think you're an idiot. The world may not think you're of the highest intelligence. The world may think you're something other than you are. But my friends, God tells us that if we listen to his word, if we obey his commandments exactly, that we shall inherit the kingdom of God. And that's a promise from the word of God. And there's an example of that in the life of Noah and in others in the Bible. I will tell you, we listen too much to the world and not enough to God's voice. And that's why we're in the trouble that we're in at times. I can look back even in my life and decide the times that I did not do God's will for whatever reason. It was not always a pleasant experience. It was not, did not always bear fruit. Here we find that Noah followed God's instructions exactly, and so should we. Remember, the ark may have capsized, but let me tell you what else. The ark would have capsized and would have been lost, and all his sons would have died. Noah's son, Shem, would have drowned in the flood. In Genesis 11:10, it says, this is the genealogy of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begot Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. Now, who was Arphaxad? Anybody know who Arphaxad was? Well, you'll know today, because Arphaxad was Noah's grandson. Genesis 11:12-27 tells us that he was also the great, 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 great grandfather of Abram, who later became Abraham. there would have been no Abraham. Do you see the importance of this? Of following God's word, his legacy, of leaving a legacy? This family had left a legacy upon generation upon generation upon generation that begat Abram, that is the father of our faith. Hebrews 11 says this about these men. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of the things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. It's obvious that the faith Noah possessed made it possible for him to obey God, even in times when it was hard to do so and people were chiding him and making him look like a fool. And this great faith was passed from generations to generations. And this same faith made it possible for Abraham to obey God. Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. Abraham followed the example, lived by his grandparents, lived from generation to generation. Do you see today the importance of passing on your faith? If the younger generations see us obeying God, it makes an impression on them. And the third thing is that Noah totally submitted his life to God. Noah built the ark. He got in the ark. And he put his trust in God. Now I can tell you, I'm not much of a builder. But if I did build something, I doubt Phyllis would get in it. Just being honest. But he built it exactly as God told him to build and put everything he owned and his whole family on there in faith, believing. And you remember me telling you that it did not rain, it did not storm, there were not rivers, it was a mist from the earth. How in the world is a mist going to float a boat? But he continued obeying God. Let me tell you, in closing, I think that one generation makes jokes about the older generation. I told you one today. But I will tell you, passing on a legacy to generations that follow us is no joking matter. The role that we play as an older generation to a younger generation will be important for future generations in this life and the next. Each of us will leave a legacy. The life we choose to live will have an impact on those who come behind us that is far greater than we could ever imagine. And we need to show the generations that follow how to live a godly life. Show them how to love, how to forgive, how to give, how to serve unselfishly, and show them how to live forever with you in the God who created us. We don't have time for no rocking chair. And we may be old, but we're not impaired. Older generations have much to share. So your generation should be sharing with the generations that follow. Our goal should be to live the life of Noah. First, our goal should be to live a righteous life in a wicked world. Second, we need to follow God's instructions as nearly as we can. And third, we need to model life that is totally submitted to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.